Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, this is Queen Tahira. Welcome to Sign of the Times. Sign of the Times is brought to you by the UAC and New Power Radio Network. Every Sunday at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, we invite you to be a part of our weekly conference calls. They take place on the number of area code 712-432-1500, and the access code is 220-981-pound. Again, every Sunday, 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Please join our weekly conference calls. The number to dial is area code 712-432-1500, and the access code is 220-981-pound. We also ask that you please support our sponsors, Manhood Race and Culture at manhoodraceculture.com, where Dr. James Jones is the president, CEO, and chief cook and bottle washer, as well as Unity Design, where Arlie Gordon is the chief cook and bottle washer. Please reach out to him as well at unitydesign.com. Unity is spelled U-N-I-T-E-E. Tonight we are going to have a brief broadcast. There's something going on with Blog Talk Radio. So We're going to go ahead and open up the lines and get this party started. Peace, Dr. Jones. How are you doing this evening? Oh, gosh. Come on. Here we go. I'm trying to open you up, Dr. Jones. It's just spinning. Oh, boy. As I said, y'all, something's going on with Blog Talk Radio. Dr. Jones, if you can hear me, please speak. If not, I'm still trying to open you up. And it's just spinning. Okay, thanks for the text, Dr. Jones. It's not allowing me to open you up. I'm going to keep trying. Okay. They done got on my damn nerves. I done been dealing with them for like the past 3 hours trying to reach somebody. None of the numbers are working. They told me to send an email. I tried to hit them up on Facebook. They told me to send an email. Then they didn't respond to the email. So I am probably a little frustrated. So I apologize. I'm going to chill out. Okay. All right. So you're still spinning, Jones. I don't know what to do. So to me, y'all, you know, while I have this captive audience, we must be doing something awfully right. I think that the temperature is changing. I think the environment is changing. I think the whole dynamics in the Black community, conscious, unconscious, sleep, Christian, Jew, whatever labels we've allowed to place on ourselves, I think people are waking up. I'm seeing a big difference, even in my city, on how folks are dealing with each other and speaking to one another and making eye contact and starting conversations about, you know, the things that are happening to us in the world around us. And, you know, we're doing something right. For this to happen, for all of the music and things like that we've had stored in our studio and things like that to all disappear, all of a sudden our automatic payments that have been coming out for over the past year, all of a sudden this month did not get taken out. I mean, it's just bananas, you know. So we must be doing something right. So the only thing that I can say is that we got to keep doing what we're doing. We got to keep plugging away. We got to keep our vision intact, regardless of what we may go through. And I'm like so hyped about what the future holds for not only Sign of the Times and UAC and the folks that are involved and have been involved in what we've built, but I'm excited for the things, even the challenges that we have still yet to face, because if I can go through what we've been through in April, lose my home, lose my property. You know, my daughter had just had the baby. The baby was 2 days old when we got displaced from our home. If we can survive that, along with the knowledge that our ancestors have survived way worse than that, we can make it through anything. We are an awesome group of people. We are an awesome nation of people. We have arrived in 2015 with the lineage and ancestors that have preceded us, that still live through us, that we still carry their spirit and their drive and their will and determination to make it. So we're going to keep on doing what we're doing, regardless of if we have to switch Blog Talk broadcast networks, if we have to be creative about having these kinds of discussions. We're going to continue to have these kinds of discussions, because that's where change begins, is when people start to communicate with one another. And Dr. Jones, I apologize. I'm going to continue to try to reach out to Blog Talk Radio. Perhaps they will have us back up and running by Friday with Brothers of the Sun. But at this point, your mic is still spinning. So please text me and let me know what you want me to do. gonna play Griff Lamar and keep trying to open up Dr. Jones for about the next 4 minutes. If we don't get you open, Dr. Jones, we're gonna go ahead and call it for the night. And like I said, I'm gonna keep trying. So please enjoy Griff Lamar, Wake Up Black People. We'll be right back. Oh, Lord, the music ain't playing either, Jesus. I quit. Hey, y'all, at this point, I'm going to happy hour. Dr. Jones.
I don't even know how to love you, but I'm ready,
so ready to learn.
Yes, I'm ready.
It's time to wake up, black people. Yeah. All my beautiful black people. Okay, so tell me, what the heck does it mean to be black? Is it rap music or crap shooting? Fathers choosing to leave and children losing. The family unit has depleted. We're defeated as a culture. Plus Big Brother always got us looking over our shoulders. As I get older, swear gets colder. Unless you wear this war paint, please don't say racism's over. Cause when I walk in the store, try to buy my family food, they follow me, I call them out, and somehow I'm the one who's rude. My father served the nation, so me, I serve the nation. But the nation has replaced equality with toleration. So every day I wake up and tell myself I'm the man. And if your skin is lacking pigment, then you just can't understand. Brother Malcolm said, by any means, all I see is enemies. My brothers and sisters, we got to change our self-identities. If we ain't got us, then who else gonna have our back? We the only ones who really understand what's on this track, right? Time to wake up, black people. Yeah. All my beautiful black people. Yeah. Time to wake up, black people. Yeah. All my beautiful black people. Okay, our history don't start with slavery, but tell me why that feels to me. Nobody ever told us growing up we came from kings and queens. They never thought from my perspective our story. Till the lion tells the tale, the hunter always gets the glory, huh? But we are much more than just a perception of an oppressive system designed to get us arrested, keep us apart, children neglected, see. We are more than just a mask that we put on to make some cash and bring it home, to spend it fast until it's gone. They don't want us to wake up, they tell us get your cake up. All your dreams can be achieved with pale makeup. The miseducation of my people has took our vision. But if we look back, then we can find out what we've been missing. We've all fallen victim to the design of a system that redefines the community of the minds of our people. But this is equal, no change needed when our minds are feeble. This world is evil, but some knowledge can make you lethal. You know what I mean? It's time to wake up, black people. Yeah. All my beautiful black people. Yeah. Black people, yeah. All my beautiful black people. So who are you and who am I? We're done with all the lies, our eyes are open to the madness. So let's focus on the prize. If we don't put in work to reestablish family ties, then we doomed to walk the earth with no heritage to define. Be against our demise, I want our people to rise. I want us to all survive, but we have to free our minds. Cause they got us in the bind, and they keep us wasting time. Provoke us acting out of line, and damn stars that's meant to shine. Promoting ignorance is what's relevant. Suppression of our only leader seems to be prevalent. Another Dr. King I have a dream will be heaven sent. But y'all, it's up to us to persevere with benevolence. Give each other strength to keep climbing, so when they bury us, we can use this solid investment as wings to carry us. Give each other strength to keep climbing, so when they bury us, we can use this solid investment as wings to carry us. Yeah. It's time to wake up, black people. Yeah. All my beautiful black people. Yeah. Time to wake up, black people. Yeah. All my beautiful black people.
Peace, Dr. Jones.
Yes, ma'am.
Success.
Okay. All right. Try again. I'm great. I'm really good.
Good. How was your weekend?
My weekend was very life changing. I'll say that. I got married on Sunday, so yeah. So it was definitely life changing.
Congratulations to you and the missus.
Well, thank you. Thank you, ma'am. I had many family and friends here, so and just actually got the last of them to leave today. And so I'm back on the job.
That's what's up. Well, I'm happy for you and the family, and that makes me feel good to hear that Black Love is still alive and well.
Now, she's a white woman.
Well,
no,
I don't believe that.
I'm just messing with you.
That just goes with the rest of my day. She gonna hurt you for saying that.
There are people like, no. She's an African American. It was very black at times. I just say that.
Oh, that's good. Well, you know, we are going to have a short broadcast tonight. Like I said at the beginning of the show, something's going on with Blog Talk. I don't know what's happening. Have been unsuccessful at getting through on any of the phone numbers that they have publicly listed. Left a message on the one I was able to get, so just waiting on them to get back. So we've got about a good hour, 45 minutes now.
Okay, so, it's a good thing it ain't a black company because all the black folk would no longer deal with them. So.
Yeah. Maybe it's time for us to find another host because I know there are a couple of them out there. And, you know, if this is going to continue to happen, it's been getting worse and worse for like the past 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So, now today I wasn't able to reach anybody. So, maybe it's time for us to explore some other possibilities, but we'll see. So where do you want to start the dialogue tonight?
You know what? I thought there would be a very good and fruitful discussion for us to begin looking at 1 year later. You know, 1 year after the Michael Brown murder. What has it taught us? What have we learned about Black America? What have we learned about Black leadership? What have we learned about the idea of power? What have we learned about the idea of the media and propaganda and how the minds of people can be shaped and swayed, especially when you consider that we haven't really gone through and looked at what does it mean that it took the anniversary of Michael Brown's murder for black folk to really get up in an uproar again. What does that mean? So I think that a year out has been enough time for us to really deal with, and I would argue, the only recent murder of an African-American male surrounding African American male would be that exceeded this as far as emotionalism for black folk would be Trayvon Martin. Sandra Bland is of course coming close, and we recently have Sam DuBose who made it nationally. But what does it mean that such a prominent murder, 1 year after, no one's going to jail, there's been no punishment for any of the parties involved in his demise. And in many ways, we've seen the entire dialogue crafted and dealt with, you know, in a very expert way. And I yield with that.
Yeah. It's troubling.
Mm-hmm.
As an African woman, am worried about myself as an African woman, but I'm even more worried about our black male. And, you know, while I refuse to feel helpless in the situation, I also realize that unless we do something, and I'm not saying, you know, exactly what that something is, but unless, you know, any one of us could likely be next. And that's the troubling part. We don't even have to be doing anything anymore. And even the most trivial of violations, i.e. Brother DuBose and his missing front license plate, is an excuse for Klan members cloaked in police officer's uniform to come fuck with us. And it doesn't make sense that for all of the black political leaders who are in office, who have been in office, who consider themselves to be a part of the, I guess, power class, if you will, because that's what they've been told, it's like they're sitting back and I guess waiting on, you know, waiting on them to get the knock on the door. I don't know, you know, I don't know what to say about all that. It's very troubling, to say the least. And I yield.
You know, one of the things for me, and I've dealt with these racial issues for a long time, as you have as well, and this continues to creep up, and it is quite simply that when you look at the issuing of a demand, when a loved one is struck down, the truth of the matter is quite simply that black folk are not now, due to their own political inefficiency and failure to act collectively and as a singular unit. We don't have a way to even respond outside of a what could be termed a very inconsequential attack, be it verbal, be it physical, and what have you, against the existing system. We don't have a way of responding when it comes directly into our home, let alone when it comes down the street or in the city or in the state or in the nation. We don't have any power, you know. And I'm sure people will say, "Well, we do have power. It's just not organized." Well, that's like me saying we don't have any fried chicken, and you point out to me, "Well, we have eggs right there," you know. And the process, the potential of those eggs hatching, and we being able to have some fried chicken. That power is not there, you know, mm-hmm. and I wish our people would stop talking about quote unquote power in that way, you know, as if it could just be manifested and ordered up. You know, it isn't that our people don't believe or our people are don't care. But the truth of the matter is that they're powerless.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a very difficult thing for us to talk about, you know. And when you really think about those that we vaunt and we triumph as being the leaders within our community, they're at a loss for power as well, because even mm-hmm. their means of contacting us goes through white folk, and I'll just say it that way.
Well, one thing I noticed that a lot of our youth are, you know, just as confused as we are about what to do. But the one thing that I don't see in them is a fear, as much a fear to go to jail, a fear to die, a fear to get hurt, a fear to fight. And, you know, how we can, I guess, bridge the gap, if you will, between our generation and the youth that are the generation up under us, you know, what would that look like if the people who are in our age category are the ones who are being passive? These young people do not want to be passive. They have no desire to be passive. And I'm sure that the ones who are in the street, you know, even today, black, white, poor, rich, are in the streets of Ferguson right now. And, you know, there was a young man who was shot and killed on the anniversary of Mike Brown's death. And the first thing I see in the media is that he's a friend of Mike Brown's, as if the media has kind of this, I guess, potpourri of bullshit that they can pull out at any time. Anybody black is assaulted, murdered, locked up, or whatever, that's going to instantly give the facade that they somehow deserved what they got. They somehow deserve to be shot. They somehow deserve to catch a stray bullet. They somehow deserve to, you know, be incarcerated for years at the age of 13, 14, 15, 16, 17 years old. They deserve to be tried as an adult. So I think that that treatment and that passivity has caused us to have an entire generation of children who just don't care. And they will hurt your feelings. They will hurt you. They will take from you. If that's going to, you know, quote unquote, prove who they are. And so, you know, how can we, I guess, you know, show that, you know, one, that we're not as afraid as they think we are, and two, I guess, help them as much as we possibly can. I'm not even sure how to at this point. You know, I'm not even sure what to do next.
I hear you. And, you know, several things, and I think that we make cavernous jumps sometimes especially when we're dealing with our community in this quote-unquote, many people call it generational gap. I look at it as generational warfare, where we've turned in upon one another. And young folk, and we've all been young, you know, we've been their age, they haven't been our age, so we see what they're doing. And in many ways, what they are like a car that is sitting in park or neutral, and they're revving the engine. They're not going anywhere. And eventually they're going to be burned out. And as a person who teaches young people on a daily basis, there are some of our young people in our community, as there are in other communities, who are unapproachable. You can't touch them as far as offering them advice, as far as doing anything for them. The vast majority of them we can approach, but there's a segment that we're not going to be able to deal with. And it's that segment that often turns into a very vocal, and by vocal, I'm not just talking about speaking, I'm talking about physically vocal. They're the ones that are in the street often, who have absolutely no understanding or comprehension of what political activism actually is. They believe that when you put I'll give you an example, they believe that when you put a mantra such as by any means necessary, that is a call to arms, to physical violence. And it's that type of thinking and that subsequent inability to humble themselves and to learn from generations of activists who have been working. Because one of the things that I think that we often forget, that it is honestly and truly a miracle that black people still exist on the North American continent with what we've been through. We often talk about our historical experience as if it was not miraculous, as if it was not courageous, as if it was not politically driven and God-led. The fact that we exist is a miracle. But when we look at young folk who are operating out from a perspective that, and it's a European perspective, it's a white supremacist educational paradigm that they've been taught. And it's the same one that white folk who look at black folk and say, why, how come y'all can't get it together? You know, it reminds me so much of David Chappelle's infamous character, the brother that was the black white supremacist, who had been put in a home for blind people, and he heard so much racist stuff that eventually he adopted it and integrated it into his worldview. Our children are the same way, and not just our children. Many of those in our age group and even older people, they've been indoctrinated with that narrative. And a part of that narrative is what we're seeing occurring from the heavy resistance of white folk to sharing any power. But more troubling, it's what we see when we're dealing with our young people who have absolutely no tolerance for anything that adults are saying to them, you know. So those are the things that are going on. Now, as far as reaching them, let's face facts. We like to rhetorically say that these are our children, but the truth of the matter is that we have a portion of these children who have grown up and been incubated inside of racist America, capitalistic America, who have swallowed those teachings hook, line, and sinker, and they are no more human, especially in regards to their view of black folk. They're no more human and have no greater understanding of what the black experience is than the most virulent white racist. And that's something that I'm not sure that we can undo. You know, so much of reaching our people has to flow from the idea of what is their intellectual diet. And if that intellectual diet, once it's consumed, does not manifest feelings of love for your people, then you've been on the oppressor's diet. And I yield with that.
Okay, for everybody who is listening on your phone, if you'd like to participate in the conversation, we are going to have a very short broadcast tonight due to some problems with Blog Talk Radio. So if you'd like to participate, please press 1 so we can get you in. Dr. Jones, you know, we talk about conspiracy theories. There's the folks that, you know, believe that all of this stuff that's happening is a part of a larger plan. And just looking at how do you prove something to be factual? How do you prove that something is true? And you first start to ask the question, could it be true? Okay, and then you start to collect the evidence. And the evidence, you know, is showing that the conspiracies that are out there, the folks who are saying that this is a part of a large agenda by the elite to make over 80% of the population in the service class and annihilate the rest of us that can't survive, I guess, if you will, this transition phase, and then have like, you know, the 10% or the 5% of the elite running the entire world. And if you start to look at some of the things that are happening, how people are passing away on, you know, massive levels, people are being executed by the state, people are being incarcerated, people are becoming ill from the environment, the water, the food, and things like that, with illnesses and things like that, it does begin to look like that particular conspiracy may be close to the truth. Have you thought about that, or do you have an opinion as to if this may be a part of a larger plan to just annihilate us altogether and have this servitude class to the elite before it's all said and done?
You know, I'm not a conspiracy theorist. Let me say that. There's so much of that reeks of kookiness to me. You know, I understand the, and really many, many of the conspiracy theories should be almost considered to be parables, not actual things. But let's say, and this is how I deal with quote-unquote conspiracy theories and what have you. Now, well, let me back up and say that the elite of this nation do not have to work to have a servant class. They already have that. The fact of how capitalism exists and operates within this nation, you already have that. They don't need to conspire to do that. Karl Marx told the workers quite simply that humanity has a fatal flaw. And that fatal flaw is quite simply that enough is never enough. And they will continue to push you into a corner until you will be in a line begging for soup in the street. So there's not a conspiracy theory surrounding that. It's quite simply how capitalism works. But onto another point that I want to make in regards to that. Let's say it is a conspiracy theory. Let's say that that's true. Well, you've spent hundreds, if not thousands, of manpower hours attempting to prove that this is a conspiracy. Let's say you do. You still got. So I deal with these types of things from a different lens and perspective, and it is quite simply to be proactive in regards to what the outcome of the quote-unquote conspiracy is designed to do. For instance, it doesn't take anyone anything to go out and vote. And we know that, we talk about it rhetorically, this idea about the power of the vote, the power of the dollar, that our community needs political, economic collectivism. Yet we sit around in a room and discuss a fucking conspiracy. Instead of working diligently to ensure that you as an individual spend your money with black businesses, instead of you as an individual ensuring that you're informed, that not, number one, you're registered, number two, you're a politically informed registered voter, and number three, you're able to join together with like-minded individuals within your community to issue a significant political punch. No, instead of dealing with that, we exhibit cowardice by saying, I'm not going to get on the playing field. I'm going to sit back and I'm going to analyze what's going on. And In the end, I'm going to be able to show you, aha, I was right. Well, you still got. Mm-hmm. And that's a big problem that we have with the quote-unquote intellectual class. And, you know, black folk are arguing. I was reading something earlier on Facebook. They're arguing about the writings of Noble Drew Ali and the Moorish Science Temple.
Wow.
At the risk of offending the Moors, which I really don't give a fuck. I don't care if it's the Moors or the Christians or the Muslims. My question is, who gives a fuck? Y'all all poor.
Mm-hmm.
Who cares if he said this or if he didn't say this? Because it's been around for over 100 years and it has not saved you.
Mm-hmm.
Get over it. Come back to reality and make a decision. And this is the thing that black folk rarely do. We need to decide, number one, are we going to be within this nation or are we going to leave collectively? And if you decide that you're going to leave, it's very easy to leave. That's got to be your first decision. Now, if you decide to stay, well, then now you need to look at what the group dynamics are, and how have other groups passed us? And we're still at the bottom rung.
Yeah.
How has that occurred? And it's politics and it's economics. It's collectivism. It's educating your own. So all of this conspiracy bullshit is from my perspective, one of the greatest expressions of cowardice. Because you spend your time over here reading some bizarre bullshit that really doesn't have anything to do with anything. You know, you need to keep your relationship and your beliefs between you and your God there. Or you're going to be the person, and many times we don't want to accept this damning indictment that when Malcolm was saying, when he said you catch hell because you're black, you don't catch it because mm-hmm. you're Baptist, catch it because you're Catholic, and he says, I believe that we need to keep our religion in the closet. Otherwise, when we come out, all we're going to do is argue about it. And I'll be damned if that ain't what the conscious community does. And what they're mm-hmm. doing is avoiding the obvious reality that due to our lack of collectivism, we don't have a pot to piss in or a window to throw it out. And those who do have some economic resources, they have not only merged with the quote-unquote man in the system, but they've also been vilified by their own people.
Mm-hmm.
So here you have some revolutionary brothers, yeah, well, we should do blah, 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 blah. And you have those who have accumulated resources who are looking at them as if they're damn fools.
Mm-hmm.
And I yield with that, Quentin.
Well, I'm not sure when that beige woman is going to come on and cut us off, but just in case she does, I want to,
well,
you know,
keep,
please
let's,
invite
let's keep going.
To come back on Friday. We'll be here with Brothers of the Sun on time and in living color, certainly by then, to do our usual two-hour broadcast. So in speaking of moving us towards a political movement, do you think that the UAC should be looked at as one of those political bodies? You know, what educationally do we need to be doing on a day-to-day basis? I've started to make some memes that, you know, have prompted some discussions. But what else do we need to be doing? How else do we need to be organizing ourselves politically and, you know, I guess, sharing political education? What would that look like at this point? Because we can't trust either of the prominent parties, the Democrats or the Republicans, and I think that we have valid reasons not to. And so what else is there? What else, you know, to be, I guess, developed or created?
You know, the thing is that, and I tell people this often, there's a reason why when students graduate from Notre Dame, that they're pro-life. Because that institution has manufactured consent, consensual agreement amongst those that attended by controlling what it is they read, what it is they watch, and what their social circles are. Now, in regards to, and that's what black folk have to do, all of our children should be reading the exact same books. They should know who Asada is. They should know who Malcolm is. They should know who Paul Robeson is. But hell, they should know who John Brown is. And if they don't, shame.